Chapter 47. It had been a hot afternoon. The sun started to redden against a dusky purple sky as Samina ventured to stand at a high window. There was the warrior, standing armour-clad on top of the wall. He had probably used one of the ladders left behind by the cowards who had retreated. Samina raked her claws across the window ledge in helpless fury.
What do you want, mouse?
As she asked the question, she was groping furiously for the bow and arrows which she kept close to paw.
The sun has nearly set, Samina. Remember the ultimatum I gave you this morning?
The wildcat queen played for time as she fumbled with bow and arrows beneath the window ledge.
Tell me again, mouse. Refresh my memory.
The message has not changed. There is still time for you to take your army out of here and leave us in peace,
he said reasonably.
You will not be harmed if you leave before the sun is down.
The arrow came speeding through the air and struck Martin in the side. The warrior mouse flinched and swayed with pain, but he stood firm. Samina bit her lip until blood flowed. Martin turned and painfully mounted the ladder, with the shaft still sticking in him. As he went, his words were like a final knell.
Then it is finished! I will bring this place down around you stone by stone! You will travel to the gates of Dark Forest!
The troops sitting in the mess hall heard every chilling word in the failing light.
We should have got out of here long ago.
A ferret called Ditchpaw snarled at Brog.
With an army our size, we could live off the fat of the land anywhere.
Others joined him.
Aye, why should we fight for this old ruin? It's hers, not ours.
Ours with Bane. He let us fight and keep our plunder, Saxfield. There isn't even enough to eat in this stinking place.
I don't know what the mouse has planned, but you can bet he really means business.
Aye, we must have been mad ever to think woodlanders were soft.
Right, look at the mates we lost today. And where was she?
Hiding on the other side of the wall like a worm from a fish.
More like a cat from a mouse.
Samina stood in the doorway.
You were saying?
Silence fell across the mess hall.
Well?
Samina's eyes narrowed. The rat called Wegg stood up.
We want to get away from this place,
he whined. Samina prowled across to him, her face almost touching his nose.
Too late, rat. The sun has set. However, there is one way you could get out. By the gates of Dark Forest. Do you want me to send you that way?
Wegg stood trembling with fear as Samina slid back to the doorway. Turning, she smiled disarmingly.
Look at you. All of you panicking because of a mouse in armor and some woodland creatures. You've heard what they want. They don't want a war. They wish to leave us in peace. Why?
The troops gazed dumbly at her.
I'll tell you why. Because they cannot get us out of here. Katir is too strong. Take no notice of mouse threats,
she urged. Ditchpaw swallowed hard and dared to speak.
But the mouse said he was going to destroy Katir stone by stone. We all heard him.
Samina beckoned to Ditchpaw and a hefty-looking fox.
You and you push against that wall,
she ordered. Puzzled but obedient, they shoved against the wall with the paws.
Oh, you can do better than that. Harder. Push with all your might.
The two creatures pushed and strained until they fell down gasping. Samina laughed. It sounded almost jolly.
Well, did anyone see Katir budge? Even a tiny bit?
Troops shook their heads. There was a chorus of noes.
Of course not, you great load of ninnies.
The wildcat spoke like a mother hedgehog to her infants.
It would take more than all of you and the woodlanders together to make a single dent in these stones. Katir will outlast even the forest outside. Now listen, I'm going to break my golden rule and tell you about my plan. First, let me say there is no shortage of food. In fact, starting tomorrow, you are all on extra rations.
Brog jumped up.
A cheer for the Queen, mates!
Hooray!
Samina nodded gratefully to her captain.
We will last out the summer. It has been a drier season than ever before,
she continued encouragingly.
Just before the first rains of autumn come, I will have my archers prepare many fire arrows, exactly like those the sly woodlanders shot at us. Can you guess what I'm going to do?
Burn the woodlands, milady.
Who said that?
I did, milady.
What's your name?
Foul Whisker, your majesty.
Well done, Foul Whisker. Good weasel. Yes, we'll stay safe in Katia all summer with plenty of supplies for everyone. Then in autumn, we'll burn the woodlanders and their forest together.
Brog was on his paws again.
Well, mates, I'm all for it. A lazy summer with lots of grub. I vote we stay here with our queen. She's not afraid of woodlanders. She even shot their boss tonight.
A cheer rang out from the troops. It was not wildly enthusiastic, but at least it carried a note of optimism. Bella and Lady Amber bent over Martin.
Looks as if he's coming round,
the badger reported thankfully. Tim Ballisto held the sling pouch with the arrow still sticking from it.
It would have been a different story without this stone carrier.
Bella bathed Martin's brow with cool water.
Even allowing for that, it's not exactly a scratch, is it?
Martin opened his eyes and immediately tried to stand, but Amber pushed him back.
Be still,
she said firmly.
It's only by luck you weren't really injured. Bella, stick some herbs on his wound and bind it up.
What hour is it, Gumph?
Martin asked, looking at the sky.
Not long before midnight, matey.
Bella, thank you, but please stop fussing over me like a mother hedgehog. I must get up. There is important work to be done.
Bella extended a paw.
Then up you come, warrior. Gonf and I will help you. What is this important work that cannot wait?
Martin tested his leg experimentally and winced.
I must get to woodship tonight.
Well, jump up on my back. It's quite broad enough to bear a mouse, even a wounded warrior.
With Gonf walking in front to clear the path for Bella, they made their way through the warm woodland night. Bula the otter lay crouched on the foredeck. She watched the dark shapes materialise silently from the trees by the bank.
Who goes there?
She challenged them.
Corium of Mossflower.
Advance and be recognised.
Bully old shrimp chaser.
Gonf, you little pie bandit. Hello, Miss Bella. What news? Martin, are you hurt? What happened?
Martin slid from Bella's back and leaned on his sword.
It's nothing, Bula. Is everything ready?
As ready as it'll ever be, Martin.
Bula gave a short bark, and her four companions appeared on deck. Martin gave a last fond look at woodship as she rolled at anchor on the River Moss. Then he nodded to Bula.
Sink her.
Scuttle woodship, matey! Are you out of your mind?
Gonf blinked in disbelief. Bella laid a heavy paw gently on the mouse thief.
Martin knows what he's doing, Gonf.
With a splash, the five otters dived into the river and were momentarily lost to sight in the dark water. When they surfaced, they were at opposite ends of the craft, three forward, two astern. Clamped in the jaws were rope hawsers, which ran to the ship. They began swimming strongly, tugging woodship around, so that she drifted until stem and stern faced opposite banks. Now woodship stood side on across the River Moss. The otters emerged, dripping, passing the head ropes to Bella. They dived back in and joined their friends on the other bank.
Make those stern ropes fast to that big oak,
Martin called out to them.
Give some slack to allow for sinkage. We'll make it fast to this beach over here.
Diving back into the water, the otters boarded the vessel amidships. Bula handed out wooden mallets, and they went below. She pointed out the inlets under the oar decks.
Knock those spigots and seacocks wide open, crew. Let the water in.
They went at it with a will. Soon the river was gushing in from eight different points, and the bilge water level rose swiftly. Bula took one last look around, satisfied that the job was done.
She's filling fast, crew. All ashore,
she ordered. Martin stood on the bank with them. They watched woodship list slightly with the flow. Then the black ship began sinking lower in the water. Above the gurgling flow and creaking timbers, Gonf could be heard singing a mournful farewell.
You carried us safe o'er the water, so proudly you sailed the blue sea. Now lie on the bed of a river to help make old Mossflower free. But here in our hearts we will keep you, woodship, like a great bird of freedom upon that last trip. With the wind in my whiskers, surrounded by friends, sleep deeply, old woodship, your voyaging ends.
The little mouse thief sniffed as he wiped a paw across his eyes.
It's a good thing Logalog isn't here, matey.
Stem and stern sank levelly as the vessel went down. With a cascading ripple, the waters broke over a midship rail. Martin turned away.
Come on, Gonf. I can't bear to watch her anymore.
A pale silver moon dappled the forest floor as they made their way back to the camp outside Katia. Bella, with Martin on her back, lumbered through the calm summer night, flanked by Gonf and Bula.
Don't fret. It was a great act of sacrifice, a brave thing. Bor would have been proud of you both.
She consoled them in a gruff, gentle voice. Bula was a little more cheerful.
I'll bet you, when this is all over, that Skipper will find a way to refloat your woodship.
Gonf looked across at the otter.
Do you really think so? You're not just saying it to make us feel better.
Bula winked.
Of course not. We never stoved her in. Just open the inlets. She's not damaged. Don't you worry, matey. Skip will soon sort it out. He's got other things in his head beside water in his ears. That's for sure.
Back at the river, only the tops of stem, stern and masts were showing. The bilges had settled deep into the river bed under the steady pressure and weight of inflowing water. Now the river moss was blocked. It began overflowing its banks, backing up and pressing against the sunken ship which barred its course. In less than an hour, there were only 3 points where the dammed up river could find escape. Straight down the flood tunnels. The swirling waters gushed in with a thunderous rumble. A creamy brown deluge poured underground, sweeping earth, loam, twigs and rocks along in its mad rush. It ripped through the tunnels, tearing and battering at the walls, until the shorings were swept away and the whole thing was welded into one great torrential underground bore, hurtling toward the lowlands where Katir stood. Formal and old Dinny were dozing over the crusts of a deeper than ever pie when they felt the ground reverberate under them. Formal pressed his snout into the loam.
There she goes out, Din. Don't need no digging claws to tell you what be happening on the ground.
They varmint soon be getting a good bath of their lives, I do believe.
Ha ha! Stand on my tunnel. Oi, they to be they.
Mossflower slept on through the night, which was still and calm, but only on the surface. Wegg the rat yawned and shivered. He tugged the old grain sack which served as a cloak tighter about his skinny body against the after-dawn freshness. The morning had started cloudy, with little sunlight to provide warmth upon the flat roof where he was stationed on watch. Brog came stamping up, rubbing his paws together. He glanced over the battlements at the still woodland.
Quiet night, eh, Wegg?
Aye, bit chilly, though, and they're still out there,
Wegg reported.
Those squirrels been shooting again?
Nah, they don't if we don't. But I think there's something going on down there.
Brog squatted down beside Wegg.
Ah, what can they do? You heard the Queen. We'll just sit tight here until the moment's right.
Says she. Those woodlanders aren't as green as they're grass-coloured.
Wegg answered back cheekily. Brog shoved him playfully.
You let me and my lady worry about that. Had you breakfast yet?
No, not yet. I'm starving. Any chance of slipping off for a bite to eat, matey?
Matey? You mean captain, don't you?
All right. Captain, then.
Aye, go on. But send a relief up here. I've got other things to do besides standing guard for the like of you.
Wegg rubbed the stiffness from his limbs as he hobbled downstairs, making for the pantry rather than the mess, as there was more chance of food down near the larder. A fox passed him, wiping and scrubbing its paws against the stones.
Damp down there, mate. Water's coming up between the pantry floor stones,
he warned.
Water? Where?
They both looked up to see Sarmina coming down the stairs. The fox beckoned over his shoulder.
Down there, my lady. Anyhow, it's always been damp below stairs.
Wegg shook his head.
Only in the cells and beneath them, not on ground level. Besides, it's summer, and there hasn't been a drop of rain since spring.
Sarmina pushed past them urgently.
Follow me, you two.
They hurried down to the pantry passage. Water was leaking through the floor. All three jumped back onto the bottom stairs.
It was only damp when I was here a moment ago,
the fox said in surprise.
Look, you can see the water covering the floor now.
Wegg touched the water with his paw.
But how? I mean, where does it all come from?
Sarmina's eyes were riveted on the water.
Get through to the dungeons, rat,
she said shakily.
Tell the guards there to come up and report to me. They'll know.
Quegg saluted, stepping gingerly down. He slopped off along the wet passage. Sarmina backed up several stairs and waited. Moments later, Quegg came swishing hurriedly back, his face a mask of disbelief.
Milady, the staircase to the cells is completely underwater. It's like looking into a well. Oh, there are two drowned weasels floating in there.
Wild-eyed, Sarmina began rubbing her paws as if trying to dry herself. Suddenly, she turned and bounded upstairs. Soldiers' voices were shouting everywhere.
The parade ground's like a lake!
Bottom barracks is flooded!
The supplies will be ruined!
Front all of us, mates!
All the cell guards have been drowned!
Screams and cries rang in her ears as the Queen hurried to her chamber. Grabbing the bow from the wall, she began firing arrow after arrow at the empty face of the woodland.
Show yourself! Martin, come out and fight!
She shrieked. In the high branches of a poplar, Martin stood, supported by Lady Amber and four squirrels. Barklad patted him resoundingly.
Look, Martin, it worked! Katir is flooding!
Oh, why is it, matey?
Gonf called up from ground level.
Oh, it's looking pretty wet, Gonf.
And still rising?
Aye, still rising, all right.
The Squirrel Queen signalled her crew to take the warrior mouse back down to earth.
What now, Martin?
She asked.
Now the real plan goes into action. I've never told you about my friend Timbalisto, or even how he comes to have a strange name like that. Well, you just wait and see what he has in store for Kutir. He'll help it to sink all right. I'm going to get my sword and armour. Tell the Corum leaders to have every available fighting creature gathered at the edges of the land rise. There's bound to be a final charge.
Wegg the Rat and a weasel named Slinkback threw their armoured mail tunics and shields over the rooftop battlements. There was a faint splash as they hit the water below. Brog faced them, his curved sword at the ready.
Here, what do you think you're up to? You can't do that!
Slinkback laughed openly in the captain's face.
Listen, Brog, you do better to chuck your stuff over too, or do you want to be drowned in full armour?
The captain looked at his thousand-eyed tunic and red velvet cloak.
But what will my lady say?
Emboldened by his companion's actions, the weasel called Foulwhisker skimmed his round shield over the battlements.
Don't listen to Brog, mates. We've heard enough lies. That mad cat will get a lot of us killed to save this old ruin.
The weasel wailed at the sound behind him, but too late. Sarmina was standing there. She dealt him a furious blow, killing him where he stood. Lifting the body effortlessly, she threw it contemptuously over the battlements, then turned upon the rest.
Who's next?
She challenged them.
Does anyone want to join him? Come on, step up. Let's see who wants to disobey the Queen of Katir.
They backed off fearfully. The slightest scowl or mutter now would mean instant death. Sarmina snatched up a fallen spear and jabbed it toward one group, then at another. The troops cringed, cowering close to the walls. She laughed insanely as she snapped the stout weapon with a single fierce movement.
Look at you! Call yourselves warriors! I could break you as easily as I snapped that spear, but I won't. I'm going to use you to break those woodlanders out there. The time has come for you to act like proper soldiers. You'll fight or die, either victory or death. I'll show you how to make war.
Whoomp! The whole roof shook. Terrified, the troops fell flat. Sarmina dashed to the edge, in time to see a second boulder come whizzing through the air like some giant shapeless bird. Whoom! It struck halfway up the wall. Masonry fell, splashing into the water from the gap left by the striking missile. As the roof shook under the impact of another boulder, the Wildcat Queen grasped the battlement, staring wildly across the deep-flooded area. Skipper patted the rough timber frame.
What do you call this thing again, mate?
Timbalisto was helping squirrels and otters to lay the next boulder in the cradle.
A ballista, Skip. I built them in the wars up north many a time when I was young. Great idea, isn't it?
Skipper shook his head admiringly as the system of pulleys and counterweights creaked under the winding handles. A long throwing arm fashioned from three silver birches strained and bent against the brake lever.
You're a cunning old war dog, Timbalisto. A baby hedgehog could operate this big catapult.
Young Dinny jumped up and down, clapping his paws.
Let I do it. Oh, please give this young mole a shot, sir.
Timbalisto shut one eye, sighting along the line the rock would take when it was fired.
Aye, why not? Be my guest, young Din.
He agreed. The mole could hardly release the lever pin for chuckling. He threw himself face down in the grass as the lever snapped back. The long arm pitched forward as the rock shot away overhead.
Oh, joy! Oh, happiness! Where'd it go? What not yet?
The watchers on the shore saw the tower shudder. A hole appeared as the rock hit Katia with tremendous force. Rubble and masonry showered into the water as another gap was made. A loud cheer went up from the woodlanders.